Savior Jesus Christ. I hope you were listening to the children's sermon this morning because that was a beautiful presentation of the gospel. Do you remember the theme? We are heirs with Christ of eternal life. Beautiful, beautiful presentation of the gospel. Remember that if you remember anything today, because this sermon is not going to have much gospel in it. Mostly law. So, with that, we begin Matthew chapter 13 and a series of Jesus' parables. And today is the parable of the sower. Right? And does anybody know how many parables Jesus taught in the New Testament? How many are recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke? At least 30. Some people count as high as 50, depending on what you count as a parable. So a lot of parables. This is one of his most famous. And it's the beginning of a series, as I said, of seven parables that Jesus taught all in one day. So if you can imagine that, seven parables, one after the other, all in one day. And the parable we're looking at this morning is about a farmer who goes out to plant his field, sows his seed, and the seed falls into different types of ground, right? Four types. The first type of ground is the hard-packed soil along the path, and that seed the birds come and eat up. The second ground is the rocky soil, and there the seeds sprout up, but they don't have any root. The sun comes out, and the hot sun dries up the plants. They wither and die. The third soil is the soil that is, what is the third soil again? Thorny soil, that's right, the weedy soil, thank you, the weedy soil, and the weeds grow up around those young plants, they choke them out, and they're unable to bear fruit. And the fourth soil is the good soil, right, and from the good soil, you receive an abundant crop. Now, how many farmers do we have here this morning? Raise your hand if you are a farmer. Okay, not too many. So maybe I need to retell this story in a little different circumstance, so bear with me. The circumstance is going to be a baseball team manager walked into the team locker room to talk to the players, and he sat down and began to teach. And he said to the players, several years ago, a baseball scout brought me four talented young players for the team. Now, the first talented young player had a lot of skills, but he didn't listen to anything that I said, wouldn't hear my coaching, and so I had to cut him from the team. The second player, he had a lot of talent too, but he wasn't disciplined, he wouldn't work hard, so I had to let him go as well. The third player worked hard, he found his place on the team, but the pressure got to him, and he got involved in drinking and gambling and carousing, and no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't help him reach his full potential. And the fourth player, he said, the fourth player joined the team, he worked hard, he found his place on the team, and after couple of years, he was batting better than 300. He was hitting home runs. He was voted most valuable player. And then the team manager looked at the players in the locker room, and he said, listen if you have ears, right? Listen to the lesson. And that is what Jesus is telling us today. Now, how many baseball fans do we have here this morning? No farmers, any baseball fans. Okay, right. Last day to buy your tickets to go to the August 1st game, right? We were out at the Freddie Nat's Park on Friday night, and had a lightning break at the sixth inning. We went home. I don't know who won. Maybe you can tell me. But anyway, I was talking to my middle son, who is a baseball lover, and talking to him about some of the great players in the game today. And one of the players that came up was Mike Trout. You know who Mike Trout is? He plays for the Angels. That's right. He plays for the Angels. And he is a guy that never appears in the tabloids. He's kind of a humble guy. He's disciplined, and he looks out. You know, he realizes it's a team. He looks out for the other players. And he said, my dad was a major league baseball player for 3 years. He said he taught me to be humble. He taught me to work hard. He taught me to care about the younger players on the team. And maybe that's why the Los Angeles Angels are paying Mike Trout a base salary this year of over $35 million. You know, that's an abundant harvest, right? Okay. Yeah. So we come back to Jesus' parable now. And in verse 10, the disciples ask, why do you speak? Let's read that together. Why do you speak to the people in parables? And Jesus speaks to the people in parables because parables invite a response. They are a way to connect with people in a personal way. They teach a religious truth. And that brings us to verse 11, where Jesus says this. Next slide. Why do you speak to the people in parables? And Jesus answers, let's read that together. The knowledge about the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. So in other words, Jesus is saying, if you're on my team, if you're listening to God's word, then you're going to hear, you're going to listen to the team talk. You're going to remember the parable. You're going to understand what it says. And as we come to these parables, we should be asking ourselves, what does the parable say? Today's parable talks about farming. What does the parable mean? And then what does the parable have to do with my life? Where do I fit into the story? Because in these parables, Jesus is holding up a mirror to his listeners, and indeed to us today, to each and every one of us. He's holding up a mirror and asking us, who are you in this parable? And so what's good about the parable we have today is that Jesus explains it all. He does that with the parable this Sunday and the parable next Sunday. He gives a very itemized explanation. The rest of the parables you have to figure out on your own. But this, today, Jesus explains it all. And he says that the farmer is who? The Son of Man, Jesus, is the farmer. And the seed is the Word of God. Yeah, the seed is the Word of God. And then we have these four types of soil, right? And that's kind of where the rubber hits the road. That's where we need to be looking about where we fit in and asking where we fit in. The first type of soil is the hard ground along the path. And, you know, really, these are the people who don't care about God's word. They're going to live life their own way, do their own thing, no matter what God has to say. And they're not here this morning. They're, you know, out. If they're on the golf course, they're getting wet. But maybe they're shopping or they're having brunch or they're at the beach. Wherever they are, they're not in God's house on God's day. Or maybe they are here. Maybe they're sitting right next to you. They're here because, not because they want to be, but because someone in authority over them has caused them to be there, like their parents or their wife. And so they are here in God's house. That was a joke, guys. That was a joke. I expect a little bit from you. Okay. And, you know, the hard-packed soil, people don't hear it. The word is spoken, you don't remember it. It's gone the minute it goes one in one ear and out the other, the hard-packed soil. The second type of soil is the rocky soil, right? And the rocky soil are those people who get enthusiastic, excited to begin with. They come to church, they see a program, maybe they like to sew, and they get involved in quilting, maybe they like baseball, and they get some discount tickets. It's all great. But it could easily be walking into the local occult shop and getting involved in crystals or fortune telling or whatever. They get bored with it after a while. They fall away, and you really don't see them again, at least not in church, maybe around town somewhere, but not in God's house. Because the sun has come out, the troubles of life have come along, and that faith has withered and died. And in both of these cases, we need to be asking ourselves, am I a little bit like that hard-packed soil? You know, am I a little bit like that rocky soil? There's a story about a man who walked into a florist shop and walked up to the counter and asked the florist, "Do you have any African violets?" And the lady behind the counter said, "No, we don't have any African violets in right now, but we do have some very nice geraniums." And the man said, "Well, I can't really use a geranium. My wife, she went to visit her mother, and she told me to look off after her African violet." Yeah, that's another joke. I hate to explain it over and over again. Okay, and every story has a deeper meaning, something behind it. And that's true in this parable, too. The hard-packed soil, the rocky soil, and now the third type of soil, which is the thorny soil. And here, Jesus gets very specific about what those thorns are, right? He says the thorns are the worries and cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches. And we all know about the worries and cares of life. You know, we've all got them. They burden us down. They come into our lives. A lot of times they destroy our happiness. And that's probably why Jesus says, cast all your burdens on me because I care for you. When you're worried, when you're burdened, the thing to do with those is to give them to God in prayer. That's what you do with all of that. You don't just keep it in your heart and let it keep you awake at night. You give that to God. Let him do his job. And the other, and I just love this phrase, the deceitfulness of riches, which clues us in that somebody is telling us a lie. The world is telling us a lie. Satan is telling us a lie. And that lie is that money is going to solve all our problems. Money is going to bring us happiness. Money is going to bring us health. Money is going to bring us security in our lives. And none of that is true. Because all we really need, right, is a roof over our head, and food to eat, clothes to wear. Everything else is just icing on the cake. Everything else is extras. And God has promised to provide all that. So what these two things do, the worries of life, the deceitfulness of riches, they come up and stand as a barrier between us and our Father in heaven. Because they ask us either to worry about stuff and try to fix it on our own, or they ask us to put our faith in money. In dollars and cents instead of where it should be placed in our God who loves us and cares for us. And so sometimes we have to ask ourselves, have I been caught up in the thorns, in the worries and cares of life, and in the deceitfulness of riches? Am I like the thorny soil? And then comes the good soil, right? And what happens with the good soil? It bears fruit, an abundant crop, right? And most farmers, I think, would be satisfied with a crop 10 times what they sowed. But here, the Word of God, Jesus says, produces a crop that is 30 or 60 or even 100 times what is sown. It produces an abundant crop. And we can count on that. We heard that in the Old Testament in Isaiah. Prophet Isaiah chapter 55, my word, God says, which goes out from me will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. God's word, the seed of his word, will produce fruit. And that is good news. We don't have to do it. God will make it happen. Just like the seed grows up when the rain falls from the sky, God is going to make his word bear fruit. But now comes that mirror, you know, that Jesus holds up for us in this parable. And we have to ask ourselves, each one of us, how is God's word bearing fruit in and through us? And the first question I think we need to ask ourselves is, how much has your life, how much has my life, and how has our behavior changed because of the word of God? I mean, if your neighbors look at you who are here in church on Sunday morning, and I consider you the most faithful of Christians who aren't afraid of water because you are here today. It's terrible. Think about it. It's terrible to be a Christian and afraid of water. It's terrible from the beginning. So you're not afraid of water. Your Christian people, your neighbors, see you drive out of your driveway on Sunday morning, even when it rains. Can they see also the fruit of God's word in your life from day to day? How has God's word changed you inside as a person, your life and your behavior? And then on the outside of you, how many of you have been able to influence? In other words, has God used you to influence other people with his love and the gospel of salvation, which is ours in Jesus Christ? In other words, are there Christians running around in this world because of what you've said or what you've done, and God has used your words or your actions to bring them to faith? Because that is the promise of this parable, that God's word, as it comes to this earth through our mouths, through our lives and actions, it's going to bear fruit. So let's pray together. Will you pray with me? Lord, plant my seed in good soil. Help me to grow in faith so my relationship with you is not shallow and weak, but a deep and mature faith. Teach me to triumph over temptation and doubt. Make me fruitful, Lord, and use me. I am yours. Take me as I am. Shape me, make me, mold me into the person you want me to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding keep you in your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's